This morning, we'll be reading the first chapter of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Reg. I brought up my glass of water in the event I get to coughing, and I'll apologize ahead of time if and when that happens. Last Sunday was one of three Sundays that this congregation had to postpone our services to a later time by virtue of the weather. And while it inconvenienced us perhaps a little bit, on that same day last week, in a town of Beauregard, Alabama, a horrific tornado swept through that town, doing untold damage and killing 23 people. About 8 years ago, a town just south of us by the name of Joplin, on May 22nd, 2011, another deadly tornado swept through that town, killing 161 people. Most of us can remember Hurricane Katrina in 2005. In 2017, we had Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Jose, and Maria. These are all natural occurrences and events, sometimes deadly, but they are, in fact, acts of nature. In the insurance industry, which my son-in-law works in, the insurance industry often uses the terms acts of nature and acts of God interchangeably. Some of us have had to have our roofs replaced by acts of nature after a hailstorm. But in your insurance policy, it might call it an act of God or an act of nature because they use them interchangeably. And I really don't have a big disagreement or argument with them over that. That's what they want to call it. But as Christians, as believers in the Bible, there's a gigantic difference between acts of nature and acts of God. And I'd like for just a few moments this morning to explore that and maybe see why that might play a role in our lives. For the purpose of this lesson, we're going to define acts of nature this way. I often go to Webster's, but typical dictionary only redefines one word at a time, and this is a phrase, acts of nature. So this is not Webster's, this is Jerry's definition. Common occurrences that happen when certain conditions exist because God designed it that way. Example, most of us, when we watch the news, we might have watched it this morning to see what the weather was going to be, to see how to dress. And the weathermen will do we kind of give an education in this every time we watch. When certain conditions exist, then the likelihood of certain acts of nature are very likely to happen. They can tell this when there's the barometric pressure is at a certain point and there's a certain degree of humidity. They will say we're going to have a 70% chance of rain. And they can do that. They can predict that based upon when certain conditions exist, it's very likely that this certain act of nature will happen. They do it all the time. Water will freeze when it gets to be 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It will boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. But even sometimes that can vary a little bit because of things like barometric pressure. And science is not my subject and never has been. So if you want to know more about that, Paul will happily explain it to you. But these things are just common occurrences that happen when certain conditions exist because God designed it that way. Even as humans, when certain conditions exist, as humans, as being part of nature, we might react certain ways or do certain things. For instance, when the condition of fear exists, a human being might kill. I want to embarrass my wife a little bit, and if you want to know more information about this, she'll tell you the story, but once, as she was helping the kids off of the school bus, there was a mad dog running around. It already bit a kid, and she didn't know it. Dog ended up biting her. By that time, the police arrived. The dog attacked the policeman, and the policeman shot the dog right there in front of everybody on the bus. And it's called protection of your own life. Ephesians 5:29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So even when certain conditions such as fear exist, an act of nature, we might respond just out of reflex, trying to protect our own life. Now, let's contrast that to acts of God, miracles, events beyond the power of any known physical laws to produce, a supernatural occurrence produced by the power of God. Natural laws are suspended or superseded for these things to occur. I'm going to use some real simple examples all of you are familiar with. Just go back to the first two chapters of creation, or of Genesis, to the story of creation. Chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. We've had many babies born recently. Some are on the way. But that's a natural occurrence. We often even refer to it as the miracle of childbirth, but really it's not a miracle, really. It's built into the system. God built it into the system. It's a natural occurrence. Being formed out of the dust of the ground is not a natural occurrence. It's a miracle. It's an act of God. It doesn't happen every day. Dividing the Red Sea in Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 21. Christ walking on water, Matthew 14, 25, and Peter walking with him on that water in verse 29. Christ raising the dead on three different occasions. Matthew 9, 25, he raises Jairus' daughter. Luke 7, verses 14 and 15, the widow's only son at Nain. John 11, 43 and 44, he raises Lazarus from the dead. These are not natural occurrences. This is the laws of nature being suspended or superseded and transcended. In fact, you could even make the case it's going against the law of nature. Let me talk about some acts of nature that we do as man, as part of this thing called nature. We do all kinds of things just routinely, daily, just because it's built in to the system, so to speak. And this is going to seem real silly to you because it's so simple, but I'm just trying to make a real simple point. Eating, drinking, walking, talking. We will do these things when certain conditions exist. When that condition exists, then this act of nature will happen. When the condition of hunger exists, the act of nature, we're going to eat. When the condition of thirst exists, we're going to drink. If we don't know where to get food and water, or we know it's at a different place, the condition of hunger and thirst might produce the act of nature of us walking to get it. And that seems so simple that why am I even talking about it? I'm just trying to point out that when certain conditions exist, sometimes certain acts of nature happen, such as murder. It's an act of nature. Man might commit murder when wrath exists, when the condition of wrath and anger exists. Genesis 4, verse 5, and Cain was very wroth. Verse 8, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So just like the weather, when certain conditions exist, this act of nature happens. Murder is an act of nature. Matthew, the second chapter, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. When certain conditions exist, certain acts of nature are very likely to happen. In the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, the story of Stephen being stoned, verse 54 from the NIV reads, when they heard this, they were furious. Verse 58, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. When certain conditions exist, certain acts of nature are likely to happen. Most likely will happen. That's why we're commanded, be ye angry and sin not. Because when anger's there, when that exists, when that condition exists, an act of nature, usually not a very good one, is very likely to happen. Now, there are acts of nature that man cannot do. And again, I'm going to use some very simple illustrations just to keep it simple. Even within nature, there are certain boundaries that we can't really operate outside. We can't fly like a bird. A man can build an airplane, design an airplane, build an airplane, then even fly it, pilot it. But he can't fly like a bird. But a bird, on the other hand, cannot build an airplane. There's certain limitations to these acts of nature, but these various acts of nature generally, as my definition, happen when certain conditions exist, then this act of nature is very likely to happen. We already pointed out that acts of God are supernatural. They suspend the laws of nature. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, if you want to turn there, Jesus makes a very interesting statement. I'm going to try to connect all these dots here. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus says this in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus performed all kinds of miracles, as Gerald pointed out, healing of leprosy, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, walking on water. Only Jesus is the only one that I know of, including all the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles, only Jesus, unless I've missed a story in there, controlled the weather when he calmed the storm. So how is it that we can do greater things than Jesus? He's talking about his various miracles. And he says, he that believes on me can. Well, let's read it again. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, if you're going to make the case that he's talking specifically to the apostles, which he was, did they do more miracles than Jesus? They may have. I don't know. We know of three cases that Jesus raised the dead. I don't know. If you combined all the apostles together and the amount of people that they raised from the dead, maybe. Maybe that's what he meant. Same thing. The group of them might have healed more people than Jesus did. But what does it mean? Well, those of you who read Zur's commentary will, and I agree with this, I don't disagree with this, bringing somebody to Christ is a greater work. Baptizing somebody in the name of Jesus into the church is a greater work, because you're healing them from a spiritual sin that will have result in eternal death versus healing them from leprosy, which might cause your death here. But, and I don't have an argument with that. But greater works than Jesus did. I'm going to ask a general question. You can just answer to yourself. What's the greatest act God ever did? My answer is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that greater than creating the world? Depends on how you define the word greater. And we know that Jesus sometimes, like when he said, if you were going to be chief in my kingdom or great in my kingdom, you need to be servant. He said of John the Baptist, nobody greater that was born of women was greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus doesn't always use the same definition regarding great that we do. So when Jesus says we can do greater things than this, consider this. If in fact God given his Son, John 3:16 is the greatest act, which I like to think of. For God so loved that he gave. Turn your Bibles to the 5th chapter of Matthew, that famous Sermon on the Mount, and consider this. Verses 43 through 48, I'm going to read this. Look what Jesus tells us to do. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do the more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I submit to you, this goes against the laws of nature. It's natural for me to want to get even to somebody that's done something bad to me. So would it not be correct as we define those acts of God, those miracles, transcending, superseding, suspending, going against the law of nature? That's what Jesus is asking us to do there. Forgive those that have done evil to you. In that sense, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are performing acts of God. Because that's not natural. When certain conditions exist like wrath, I want to get even. But Jesus is saying, well, if you're going to act like God or be children of your Father, you need to act like him. God so loved that he gave. In Acts, the 20th chapter, the Apostle Paul speaking in verse 35 says, I have showed you all things that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Same apostle writes in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Same apostle, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I won't speak for you, but obviously for me, sometimes it's not natural for me to cheerfully give. Because of my natural selfishness and greed. But if I go above that normal natural law, if I suspend that natural law, if I go against that natural law and give anyway? God so loved that he gave. I'm acting like God in the right way. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, and all the purpose of that was for the forgiveness of our sins. Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In the 18th chapter of Matthew, in his discussion with Peter, Peter asks, "How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Forgiving somebody that's wronged me, the natural law, when the conditions of wrath and anger exist, the predictable act of nature that would happen is for me to go get even with that person. But if I understand this right, God's asking me to perform acts of God, suspend the law of nature, supersede it with a higher law, go against it, and act like God. In that sense, we perform acts of God. Even William Shakespeare, I don't know if he was a religious man or not, but even he said, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." I want to thank Nancy for putting that verse 4 of 2 Peter 1 on your bulletin. And I thank Reg for reading that, because now we come to the conclusion. Because what that says in there, and this verse was part of our food and fellowship a couple of weeks ago. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we might be partakers of his divine nature. There's acts of nature, and there's acts of divine nature. Sometimes those acts of nature are very violent, leaving destruction in its course, in its path, leaving death in its path, like the tornado. And those things happen because it's built into the system, because when certain conditions exist, certain acts of nature are going to happen. And that's true with us. But he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and given us a way to escape that corruption and to be partakers of his divine nature. And that starts with loving submission and obedience. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. That's why he could do those miraculous supernatural acts. He gave a miraculous measure of the Spirit to the apostles for them to do those miraculous acts. He's ready, willing, and ever. He's ready, willing, and able right now to give you a measure of the Spirit that will help you go against the laws of nature and act like God and take on more of his nature, to where we begin to resemble him and look like him, which is what that talks about there in Matthew 5, that being his children. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, and you want to take care of that, or maybe you need more study on that, would like to have somebody come into your house and study with you on that, or if there's anything that the church can assist you with this morning, let us know what it is as we stand and sing this invitation song.